Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday.
Jaguars Thursday.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman in Jacksonville. And in Charlotte, North Carolina, one of 26 semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2017. Tony Baselli is with us tonight. Congratulations, Tony.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good to be with you guys.
Yeah, always
good
to have you.
Hey, did you, by the chance, I just got done talking with Gus Bradley about the list that Gil Brandt came up with. Did you see it?
I did see it. I got a phone call last night that I made semifinalists, and when I landed here in Carolina, I got online, just a bunch of tweets from a bunch of people wishing me congratulations, and then got on to see who was all on the list, and saw that article from Gil.
Let me read this, because I think this is this is worth reading. Gil Brandt, NFL media senior analyst, Dallas Cowboys,
Cowboys forever.
I mean, unbelievable, highly respected. Out of the article starts with this. He says, out of the 94 modern era nominees for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2017, 26 semifinalists have survived to the next phase of the selection process, and Gil Brandt ranks them. The next cut will be to 15 finalists. That's going to be in early January. And Tony, LaDainian Tomlinson, 1. Terrell Owens, 2. Kurt Warner, 3. John Lynch, 4. Torrey Holt, 5. Tony, you're 6. And here's what he wrote. The second overall pick in the 1995 NFL draft allowed 15.5 sacks over 7 years in Jacksonville. That translates to fewer sacks allowed per play than Hall of Famers Orlando Pace, Randall McDaniel, Gary Zimmerman, and Willie Rofe. Baselli was named to 5 Pro Bowls and was part of a Jaguars team that went to the playoff in 4 of its first 5 years of existence, with two of those trips ending in the AFC title game. Nice words said there for you. That's awesome.
Well, I appreciate that. Gil is I have known Gil Brandt since 1991, when I was a redshirt freshman at USC after my first year playing football at USC. I redshirted my true freshman year. Gil Brandt, I met him after the year, actually after my full year there, the summer before my sophomore year, I made the Playboy All-American preseason All-American team. And Gil Brandt was the person who picked he was the head of the committee that picked the preseason All-American team for Playboy. And so they fly you to this location, they do this whole photo shoot and everything, and that was the first time I met him.
How was the photo shoot?
It was not as I'll say it this way. It was not as glamorous as a 19-year-old Tony Baselli was hoping for back then. It was there was just the players. There was that's all it was. Really.
Where was the photo shoot at?
There was no mansion involved, huh?
No, there was no. It was down in Miami. They flew us to South Beach, and now it was first class weekend in South Beach. My roommate was Jason Elam. He was going into his senior year as a kicker at the University of Georgia, and they flew you down first class down to Miami, and you spent 3 days, 2 nights on the beach, and everything was paid for, and they did a couple media things and photo shoot, and that was it.
So what did you guys do at night after the photo shoot?
I went to bed.
Had some unsweet nice tea and went to sleep, huh?
Okay. Had a glass of milk and some chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, I believe that, Tony.
And went to bed.
I believe that.
Of course. Well, certainly we're all rooting for you for the Hall of Fame.
Let me put it this way. That's not one of the – I have not shown my boys that the magazine that I made.
I'm sure you still have it, though, right?
I don't, actually. I really don't. I mean – I made it 3 times.
All right, so here's a call for if anybody out there has that edition, please send it to Everbank Field so that Tony may share that with his boys.
No, we're not going to share that with the boys. Actually, I was in it 3 years in a row, and I will not be sharing that with my boys.
They don't even show anything anymore in Playboy.
Well,
do they even have a team anymore?
I don't know. I have no idea. That's a good question. That's a great question. But, yeah, anyway, Gil Brandt, he was the guy. And Gil Brandt, Jeff, you've met Gil, haven't you?
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, nice guy.
Okay, so Gil Brandt will know every – I guarantee you, Jeff and I walked up to Gil, and I see Gil still all the time, he would know where Jeff Loggerman went to high school, how many starts he had in college, you know, who his best friend was. I mean, he is – I mean, because that's what he did forever. And he has a memory, and he's an older gentleman now, but he has a steel trap for a memory. He knows more information on guys than anyone I've ever met.
There's a photo of Gil Brandt walking across Lambeau Field in the Ice Bowl in borrowed boots. He bought a pair of boots the day of the game off a trucker at the hotel. And it's a classic.
He's one of those guys that if you ever want to just go talk about NFL history and players and games and – what is the history of the NFL? He is a wealth of knowledge. Great storyteller, too.
We will look forward to the next round of voting in the Hall of Fame and wish you luck. Of course, whenever you get there, and you will get there, we'll never hear the end of it from you, I'm sure. So
if I ever get there, JP, we're going to have a big party.
I think so. I think we all will.
And you're buying.
Hey, it's on you.
I will buy. As soon as you buy me my steak dinner, Jeff, I will buy that one.
The one argument that I would make looking at his list is, I think Morton Anderson should be one slot higher. I think you should be at 7 and Morton should be 6.
That hurts my feelings.
I'm joking.
Wow.
Well, actually, you know what? Both of us should vote for Morton Anderson number one, because if he wouldn't have shanked the kick in 96, we would have not been in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
There's no doubt.
So maybe we should vote for him number one.
Some other guys that are behind you, Terrell Davis, Joe Jacoby, who I watched Lawrence Taylor just crush him, Steve Atwater, Brian Dawkins, Alan Faneca, Ty Law, Don Coryell, coach, Edgerrin James. That's the top 15 right there. Tony, out of some of these other guys that are below you and the names that I just read, and I'm going to go a little bit further, Isaac Bruce, Jason Taylor, Hines Ward, Chris Hinton.
Hold on. Didn't you destroy Jason Taylor, Tony?
I had a good game against Jason, yes.
Okay.
Jimmy Johnson, coach of the Cowboys and Dolphins, Darren Woodson, Kevin Y, Mike Ken. Carl Mecklenburg, Tony, you grew up watching him.
No, as a kid, I have a soft spot for Carl Mecklenburg. He was one of my favorite players. Wore number 77 for the Broncos. Played a defensive end hybrid.
Played everything.
Some outside backer. But he was a good player.
Roger Craig and Clay Matthews, who played for like 25 years, I think.
Yep. I actually played against Clay Matthews his last year, which in 90, I think it was 96.
His last year was 96. He played with the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, we played against them.
But of all those names that are kind of ranked below you there, who impresses you the most out of those list of names?
Oh, gosh, Jeff, they're all such great players. I mean, you think about, a guy who stands out to me is Darren Woodson. I don't think he probably gets the due he deserves on those great Cowboy teams. He was a versatile defensive back, could play nickel, could play safety, did it all. I got to play against Jason Taylor. You look at his numbers. He's going to get in there one day. He's one of the great pass rushers to ever play the game. You watched Joe Jacoby growing up, and he was the Hogs offensive lines that led those teams to Super Bowl victories. I mean, they're all great players, and that's why it's an honor just to be involved, even at that level, with names like that.
Yeah, when you talk about Joe Jacoby, I mean, and you grew up, having grown up, you watched Carl Mecklenburg, but you also had the opportunity to go against Clay Matthews, and I'm sure you watched him with the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, he's an SC guy too. I mean, he's a guy that going to SC, you knew who Clay Matthews is. You knew the Matthews family, and what he meant to USC, and then also growing up as a football fan and watching all those great Cleveland Brown teams. And I was a Bronco fan, and we had the better, John Elway, those memorable drives that got them in the Super Bowl and broke Cleveland's heart. Clay Matthews was on those teams, so he's a tremendous player.
And the guy that, that I grew up with, we talk about guys that we grew up watching, and then when you get in the NFL, you get an opportunity to play against them. I remember – my first opportunity to go against the Washington Redskins, and some of the Hogs were still there. Bostic, Joe Jacoby was still with the Washington Redskins because the Jets and the Redskins used to practice together in training camp. And so that was pretty cool for me, you know, having grown up watching these guys, and then all of a sudden now you're playing with them. Kind of surreal.
Wait, Jeff, it is. And I'll tell one last story, and then we can move on to the Jaguars. Of speaking of those type of moments, and that's where, you know, you almost pinch yourself. Even, you know, when the list comes out last night, you think, you know, what an honor to even be mentioned in the breath of, you know, the possibility of making the Hall of Fame. Because I remember, I mean, growing up a Bronco fan, my favorite player was John Elway. And I remember his last Pro Bowl I was at and got a block for John Elway. And you talk about, you know, being a little kid in the candy store. Here I am, a professional athlete at the highest level. And I'm sitting in the huddle, and I barely can even think. I'm looking at John Elway, and I actually went up to him, and I said, "You realize you were my favorite player when I was little?" And he looked at me and just said, "Will you shut up, please?" That's what's so great about this game is, and I hope when you're a young player, you got to take advantage of those opportunities. And the NFL is, I'm a big fan, and I've been a fan since I can remember. I love the game of football, I love the history of the game. And so being around people that made this game great, like some of the guys we've talked about, it's an honor, and it's just awesome. I mean, I almost have to pinch myself sometimes, can't believe that I get to be a part of it at any level.
Yeah, I remember the first moment, and it was not long after I had finally signed a contract, had a little bit of a holdout that was going on. And the first preseason game that I played in, it was against the New York Giants, and it was at the old Giants Stadium, which is now completely flattened and raised for the new stadium, the MetLife Stadium that they have there. And, Tony, I remember walking through the tunnel to go out on the field, and the Jets and the Giants, you know, you had locker rooms on opposite sides of that tunnel. And walking out for the game, there's Lawrence Taylor leaning up against the wall of the tunnel, and he looks like he's taking a nap because it's the preseason. And he could care less about a preseason game. And here I am wearing 56 for the other New York football team, and I'm walking out of the tunnel, and there's Lawrence Taylor, and he just raises his head up, looks at me, and puts his head right back down and goes back to taking a nap. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, my God, that's Lawrence freaking Taylor. Are you kidding me? That's Lawrence Taylor, the guy that I grew up watching crush Joe Jacoby and just crush everybody. I mean, one of the greatest players ever.
There weren't very many people he did not beat.
Yeah, no. So. Unbelievable. That was a great moment, though.
There's one, the magazine cover with him and you on the same cover wearing 56.
I've got that somewhere.
Pretty interesting to see. We'll come back and talk Jags, guys. We haven't got to the Jaguars yet, so keep an eye out. Tony Boselli, semifinalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2017. We'll follow that throughout the remainder of the season and the upcoming offseason. The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman in Jacksonville. Tony Boselli from Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thursday night football, the Saints and the Panthers coming up. And he'll have the analysis tonight on Westwood One Radio. Glad you're back with us. The Jaguars get the Detroit Lions this week. And the Lions, after a bit of a rocky start in terms of results, well, they won 4 out of 5. They're coming off the bye week. Every game they've played, by the way, they've trailed late and have had to rally to win the 5 games they have won. They're 5-4 right now. And it's a team obviously led by Matt Stafford, who's playing really good football and really clutch football this year, guys.
Well, he's a good football player, and I think this is a challenge for this football team. I was talking with Gus, Tony. I used the term a quarterback-centric offense. Because, you know, I mean, the Jaguars have faced some great quarterbacks. I mean, Phillip Rivers, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Flacco. I don't know if Joe Flacco would be considered great, but a good football player. But, boy, I mean, this offense with Matt Stafford, it goes as he goes.
And he's playing the best football he has in a while. What is it, Jim Bob Cooter?
Yep. Jim Bob Cooter.
Jim Bob Cooter. I always say that name. I'm like, oh, is that right? It doesn't seem right, but it is.
He's their offensive coordinator, by the way.
Yes. Yeah, he's done a great job with them. Matthew Stafford only has 5 interceptions this year, 1 fumble. That's the totality of turnovers the entire team has, 6. And for a Jaguar team that is struggling, 5 straight games, full games without a turnover. If they don't get a turnover this week, it'll be the longest streak without a turnover since the 1970 merger of the AFL and NFL. And right now, Matthew Stafford, who has a history of turning it over a little bit, is protecting the ball, and because of it, he's putting his team in positions to win, and that's why they lead the division right now in the NFC North.
Yeah, here's his numbers. 101.6 passer rating, the third down passer rating, which I always refer to because that's the most important thing for a quarterback, in my opinion. He's a 92.9. That's 9th in the National Football League. Phenomenal job. He's got a rocket for an arm.
He's always had great completion percentage. He's always been that kind of guy.
Yeah, he's 60, what did I say, 67?
Yeah, I mean, it's high.
It's 67.3% completion percentage, which is crazy high. You know, and they actually are the first team on the schedule this year to where they actually list 3 wide receivers as their starters on the offense because you got Anquan Boldin, Marvin Jones Jr., and Golden Tate. And they play a ton of 3 wide receiver sets. And, you know, if you consider Eric Ebron a wide receiver slash tight end, I mean, they like to throw the ball around the yard. And Matt Stafford right now is doing a great job for him. Great job.
Yeah, this is a game where you're going to be on nickel a lot. And they'll run it out of nickel, though, too, as well, Jeff. They'll obviously, they're going to try to spread you out, create some easy running lanes for their offensive line and their backs. But it does go – it revolves around the quarterback. And give Jim Caldwell a lot of credit. I mean, a year ago this team was talking about firing the entire staff. Caldwell made the change to Jim Bob Cooter in the middle after the London game they played last year. And they put it together a nice second half of the season, and it's carried over to this year.
Yeah, you talk about, you know, they like to run it out of that 3 wide receiver set. I'm going to be honest. I don't think their running game concerns me one bit.
But you have to honor it. You have to honor it, though.
Yeah, you got to respect it because you got to respect everybody's running game. But Theo Riddick, Zach Zenner, Justin Forsett, Dwayne Washington, you know, all 4 of those guys have played a bunch because some of the guys have been injured off and on. They don't scare me one bit. The one guy, Tony, that I was very impressed with, and I'm not sure how much opportunity you've had to watch film yet, but there's been some common opponents that the Jaguars have played already.
The Houston tape. Yep.
So, you know, we've watched Detroit a little bit already. The left tackle, Taylor Decker, I think he might be the best left tackle that came out in the draft this past year because he's playing pretty well.
Yeah, he's solid. He played good football. He did a good job in that game against Houston for a young guy in a tough situation on the road against some good pass rushers. So I do think the offensive line isn't great, but you know what? They're doing a good job of giving Stafford time, creating a nice pocket, and letting him go to work.
Yeah, Taylor Decker was, I believe, the 3rd offensive tackle taken in round 1 because of Ronnie Stanley, and then it was Laremy Tunsil.
He's the 4th, Jeff, because the Titans took
Jack Conklin. So he was the 4th tackle taken in the draft.
Playing better than all of them.
I mean, you could make that case. You could make that case.
Well, I think it's hard. They're different, though. I mean, Conklin is a better run blocker. He's a powerful guy, and he's really good for what Tennessee wants to do and what they're trying to do up there. Tunsil's been more of a guard. He's going to get his first start, it looks like, at left tackle because of the Brandon Albert injury in Miami. So we'll see what he's like out there. And then Stanley's been hurt, but he's been struggling a little bit. He has not had a great rookie year.
Guys, let's flip it over now. Jaguars offense. Britt Martineau had this tweet earlier today. Blake Bortles threw 9 games in 2015, 55% completion rate, 2,300 yards, 19 touchdowns, 11 picks. This year, 60% completion rate, 2,400 yards, 16 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Nearly identical numbers. Why is the heat more on Bortles now than it was a year ago?
He's not making the big play. You know, and if the numbers are similar, right?
Yeah.
I think people expected progress, you know, improvement. You don't want to see the same numbers from, you know, year three to year four or year two to year three.
Right.
I mean, you want to see constant, never-ending improvement with a quarterback.
And well, I think the biggest issue is this, though. And, Jeff, you're right. I'm going to expound a little bit on what you said. After the first year's rookie year, I remember the last game, Jeff and I sat there on air and said, Blake Bortles needs to make the easy throws look easy. Remember what it was, how much of a struggle it was. And he came out his second year, and he was so much better than his first year. Was it perfect? No. Were there still mistakes? Absolutely. Too many interceptions and everything else. But the improvement was so great that we were so hopeful and said, you know what? He is going in the right direction, and he is on a trajectory that he's going to be the franchise guy. I mean, he is going to be the guy that you can win with and you can go a long way. The problem is we haven't seen any progress this year. And there's a saying that that a lot of people use is in the NFL, you're either getting better or you're getting worse. You're never staying the same. And because if you're staying the same, you're going backwards. And to Jeff's point, because there's no progress and we're seeing the same mistakes without as many big plays, but you know, take that away, it's the same mistakes. And you can't make those type of mistakes at critical times. It's not just the 11 interceptions and the turnovers, it's where they happen and the situations that the team is put in because of those turnovers that become so glaring and make it so difficult. So I think the feeling is so much different, even though the statistics are similar, JP, because we haven't seen any progress like we did from year one to year two.
And you want the wins.
Absolutely,
I mean,
you want the wins.
That's where you kind of expect it. I mean, with the defense playing as well as it is, you know, big improvement from last year. You wanted to see the most important statistic, you know, improve, and that's wins. And right now they haven't been able to do that, and that's why the criticism falls on the quarterback, and it falls on the coaching staff, it falls on the team as a whole. And so that's the nature of the beast. And, you know, I mean, you could make the argument, JP, with some of those numbers that are used for that comparison from last year to this year, is where has the bulk of some of those numbers come? Has it been in the first half? You know, and I would love to see a statistical comparison of Blake Bortles of first half of games versus second half of games. And I think,
Jeff, I'll take it even further. How about just the first quarter?
Yeah.
First quarter compared to the last three.
I mean, this year alone, if you could see on Jaguars.com, he has a 31 rating in the first quarter, and then it gets better and better as the quarters go on. That's for 2016. Not sure about last year. So 6 interceptions in the first quarter this season.
And fourth quarter, I mean, when teams have, you know, might have a 2-possession lead or something like that, you know, he's got 1,000 yards passing in the fourth quarter, 9 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, you know. I mean, that's – you got to get better, you know. And, look, the best part is, and I said this during the Gus Bradley show, and I'm in it, is that he appears to be making some right decisions, Tony, but the delivery and the accuracy is not there. So you're encouraged that, you know, he's making some right decisions, but the results have to be there.
No, you're right. I mean, you look at last week as a perfect example. You know, he's 65% completion percentage. So you look at that by itself, like, that's great. 265 yards, outstanding.
Third down's great.
Third down conversion, the best of the year. But then you start digging in a little bit further to the numbers, and you realize that he had to drop back, you know, I think they dropped back 58 times or 57 times. He threw it 49. So your average per attempt is not very high at all, which is a key number. You look at the turnover, the results immediately to, you know, 6 points or 7 points on the turnover, the slow start again. And then the other thing you look at is, yes, the high completion rate, but when there were opportunities down the field, you didn't make the big throws. So the big plays aren't there. So you start – so, you know, so the overall, the numbers are like, okay, that's better. It's improved, and it has in certain areas. But when it matters the most and the glaring errors, they're still there.
Let me ask you this. And Blake, do you want Blake Bortles to lead the league in attempts at this
no.
point? He is leading the league in attempts, 380 passing attempts this year. That's not what this offense was designed to be.
Well, but part of that is what Jeff just said, though, JP.
Yeah.
When you're down two scores in the fourth quarter, you're not going to run it. The last three series of this game, of the game this past weekend, they were down and they had to open it up and they could not afford to run the ball.
Yeah.
Now, I'll be critical.
Part of the reason of all those attempts and you're down is that you know, your performance in that first quarter that we've shown.
That's right.
The performance early on is not good enough, so you're playing from behind. And then you're trying
to
play
catch up. This team has had a lead for 2.5 minutes in the last, five games.
Mm-hmm. Not good enough. We'll come back and talk Thursday night football. Also, the Jags injury report. We'll break that down. And we'll pick some games in the NFL. I'll continue to dominate like I did a week ago.
Yeah, I believe that.
This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
JP Chadwick, Jeff Loggeman in Jacksonville, Tony Vaselli at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thursday night football, New Orleans Saints and the Carolina Panthers in the NFC South. Let's break it down. Both of these teams, the Saints last week lost on an extra point blocked and returned for 2 points somehow. The Panthers have been just awful early in the season. So what do you think of tonight's matchup, Tony, just in general?
Well, I think it's going to be a close game. These teams play close games. Last time it was a 41-38 victory by the Saints, of points. I think both defenses are playing better. The last 2 weeks, the Saints are getting a little bit better. They're on a historic run. First seven games, they were going to break their own record of, in the modern era, being the worst defense ever. So, it's about Drew Brees more than anything. You watch him on film, he's playing better than he has the last 2 years. He's at 37 years of age, and he's getting ready to throw for the second most yards in his career. So that coupled with Cam Newton on the other side, who always – he's going to play a different style of football for the quarterback, but it's fun to watch. So I think it's going to be a tight game. I think the Saints are a little bit better, but the desperation of the Carolina Panthers and being home on a Thursday night might get over the hump. So it's going to be, I think, decided in the last few minutes of this game.
What has changed with the Carolina Panthers? I mean, to go from Super Bowl to bottom of their division, how does that happen?
Well, the close games they were winning last year, Jeff, they're losing. That's the first thing. They're minus 7 or 9 on the turnover margin. Struggling on that side. That's a big issue as well. And then they went young in the secondary, and their pass rush isn't quite as good as it was last year. Now it's picked up. The last three games they have 15 sacks. And so they should have won last week against the Chiefs. They had a 14-point lead at the end of the third quarter, and if they don't take two straight sacks, they're going to kick a field goal and make it 17 going into the fourth quarter, and they would have won that ball game. But some bad mistakes lost it for them. So the defense is starting to pick it up, but they went really young in the secondary. They have two corners that are rookies, James Bradbury and Daryl Worley, that are starting at corner for them. And when you start two corners that are rookies, they're good players, but they're rookies. And there's going to be some growing pains there, especially if the pass rush isn't good, and it wasn't good early. It's getting better, and that's helping them out a little bit.
I mean, the Jaguars got a rookie. He's playing really well.
Yeah, they're not that good, Jeff. They're not that good. And then offensively, the offensive line, they're without Michael Orr, who's missed 6 games because of a concussion, and they're struggling to protect Cam Newton. And so it's a bunch of little things. Biggest thing, though, I think, is the turnovers. They're not getting the turnovers they got last year. They're on the wrong side of that ledger. And then they're just not winning the close games.
You talked about the Saints were on pace to be the worst defense ever, to break their own record that they set, last year. Have they gotten any better?
Yeah. Now, we'll find out today because – they got better the last 2 weeks, but they played the 49ers, who are no good on offense, and they played the Denver Broncos, who struggle on offense.
Mm-hmm.
But they got some guys back. They got Donnell Ellerby, the linebacker, who's not a great player, but he's better than what they had. They got their first pick who had broke his fibula during training camp, the first rounder out of
Louisville, right?
Rankins.
Yep. Sheldon Rankins, Louisville.
Yep. He got a sack last week. And then Delvin Bro, their corner, who's their number one corner, came back, but he's out tonight. So that'll be they're a little bit weak in the secondary. So they've got some guys back playing some inferior offenses, helped them out a little bit. And so we'll see what they do against the Panthers tonight.
Hey, Tony, Cam Newton's a different type of quarterback, runs around a bit, gets out of the pocket, turns into that type of guy at times. So that said, is all this talk about the hits on Cam, illegal hits on Cam, is it legitimate? Is it a problem or is it not?
I think he has some legitimate complaints. Now, when he's running the ball outside the pocket, I don't think that's what he's talking about because he's free game. He's like a running back,
that's
and he
right.
plays like a running back on a lot of plays. But I remember all the way back to week one, I did the game Panthers against the Broncos, and he took two shots as a passer in the head that I was shocked they did not call. I mean, absolutely shocked. And then you saw 3 weeks ago he took a shot in the knees that the league afterwards came out and said should have been called. So I think he does have some complaints. At times, he's in the pocket. He's such a big guy. I mean, you guys have seen him. Jeff, you've been on the field with him.
He's like 260.
I mean, he's enormous. And so I think he sometimes doesn't get the benefit of the doubt some of the other quarterbacks do get.
No, he gets kind of the Shaq treatment. You know,
yes, that's
Shaq
a great way to explain it.
Just so big, you know, that he doesn't get the calls because he's so big, they just expect him just to power through everything. Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, there's other quarterbacks in the league that take hits, though, that don't get called. I mean, Blake Bortles had one this past week.
That's right. We got one right here.
You know, Brian Cushing took one swat in the face mask of Blake Bortles this past week. So, you know what? Probably every quarterback could, you know, have some type of complaint with the exception of a few.
Yeah, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. Because they
Drew
get
Brees,
called.
They have nothing
everybody.
To complain about.
Let's get to the injury report for the Jags, and then we'll pick some games here. Dante Fowler Jr. is on the report with a shoulder injury, but
yeah,
was listed
he
as
about
full
it.
Today.
Because he talked about it.
Yeah, you have to put it out there now, right?
Well, whatever. I mean, every player, you could list every player with an NFL team, and that was just, you know, the Jaguars, I guess, trying to cover their bases
out there. It has to be on the list.
Yeah, so. Because, you know, some news organization said, well, if Dante Fowler's talking about he's got a shoulder injury since week three, then why is it not on the injury report?
Kelvin Beachum limited both days of practice, should be good to go. Dan Scuda limited today with a back injury. Neil Sterling limited. Brian Walters limited again today, coming off a concussion. Chris Smith has not practiced with the eye injury, and of course Telvin Smith away from the team right now, back in Valdosta, Georgia.
All right. Have they said whether he's going to come back for the game or not?
They have not, and we talked to Gus about that, and he said, you know, I just don't know, you know, kind of exactly what's going to happen. But, you know, here's the thing. You have Miles Jack that you're training this week to play Will, the weak side position, which is probably his natural position. And so then you're also getting Dan Scooter ready to play the Otto or Sam position. Paz would obviously play the Mike position. The question that I would have, and I think that it's a legitimate question, if Miles Jack is practicing all week to play the Will or weak side linebacking position, if Telvin does play on game day, okay, does Miles Jack play at Otto? Probably not.
Well, Otto's not going to be out there very much, though.
Yeah, no.
I don't think it's going to be a big issue.
No, but, I mean, if there was ever a game, I mean, look, and Telvin's got to take care of business.
No, I know what you're going to say, Jeff, and I agree with you. He needs to take care of it, but I would love to have him out there because he's playing at a high level.
First of all, you're right, he's playing at a very high level. But, I mean, when you talk about the way that their Jaguars are going to be playing nickel, because, you know, the Detroit Lions, we talked about quarterback-centric offense, three wide receiver sets. They don't play base personnel a ton. So it's going to be nickel. It's going to be nickel. It's going to be dime. And Telvin is their best space linebacker that they have. And if he's not available, that is a significant loss to the Jaguars defensively going into Detroit. No question.
Yeah. We'll see moving forward the next day or two what happens with Telvin Smith.
But he needs to take care of himself and his family. I mean, we got to keep everything in perspective. As much as we all want him out there, the tragedy that he is working through right now is – takes, in my mind, takes precedent over anything else.
Crazy week with the death of his brother and then the birth of his son within 2 days of each other. Guys, it's time to pick some games. Here are the results from last week.
We always do.
And JP and Baselli last week 7-6. Logaman 5-8.
And
I now have two more wins for the season than Logaman. Baselli is at 606, his win percentage. I'm at 552, Logs at 531.
You know, see, I was trying to go and reach for some advantages last week, and they obviously did not work.
They kind of backfired there.
I was trying to get a couple more games on you guys to get back in the mix, but I'm better at fantasy anyway.
Oh, that's fantastic. Teams on bye, the Falcons, the Broncos, the Jets, the Chargers. So let's start with tonight's game, the Saints and the Panthers. Who you got?
Tony, you're calling the game. You go first.
Tony,
I'm going to go Saints.
Saints.
Yeah, I mean, Drew Brees is playing such a high level. I don't see them slowing him down.
I'm with Tony.
I'm with you and Tony.
Okay, all of us. Bills at the Bengals.
I'm taking the Bengals.
I'm going to go Bills.
Yeah, I'm going Bills too. I think the Bills' offense is going to take advantage of a defense that's not playing very well right now.
Steelers lost a tough one last week to the Cowboys. Great game, but they're at the Browns this week. I'm going to call their bounce back.
Yeah. I think I'll go with the Steelers.
I'm not going to try to steal one there.
No.
Come on.
You picked them
two weeks ago.
Jeff,
try to get back in it.
I picked them against who?
I don't remember, but they lost.
I think it was the Cowboys.
Ravens at the Cowboys this week. I'm going Cowboys.
I'm going to take Ravens.
Yeah, I'm going to go Ravens too. But number one defense in the NFL, second versus the rush. We saw them firsthand. They're really good.
The game is in Baltimore, and, right?
No, it's in Dallas.
I'm still taking the Ravens. This is a game where the Ravens' toughness and the mentality, I just think they're looking forward to this opportunity, and I think they knock them off.
I'm changing my mind. I'm taking the Cowboys.
Hang on. Let me scratch that out. Cowboys.
Dallas,
okay.
Yeah.
AFC South, the Titans at the Colts. I'm going Titans. Exotic smash mouth. They might have a tackle touchdown again.
I'm going Colts.
Titans.
I need to steal one there.
Yeah, you do.
Andrew Luck has been sacked 33 times.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. 33 times.
No wonder he had a lacerated liver or whatever he had last year. Buccaneers at the Chiefs.
Chiefs.
I'll go with Jeff.
All Chiefs. Cardinals at the Vikings.
I'm taking, the Vikings.
They're not playing well.
Man, they don't have an offensive line. They had a good pickup this week. They signed Rashad Hill off the Jaguars practice squad. Mm-hmm. He'll be a good football player one day.
I'm going to go Cardinals. On the road. Tony?
I'm waiting for Jeff.
No.
You know what? I'm taking the Vikings.
I'll go Cardinals then.
Bears at the Giants. This should be pretty easy.
Giants.
All of us there. Dolphins at the Rams, who screwed us all last week.
Dolphins.
Rams.
Dolphins.
Okay. I'm going to go Rams.
Jared Goff will not have a great debut.
We'll see about that. Eagles at the Seahawks. Hawks had a big win last week. I'm going with them at home.
Fly, Seahawks, fly. Seahawks.
Jeff?
I need one. But not here. I'm taking the Seahawks.
Patriots, we're all going for them at the 49ers, I'm sure.
Whoa.
You're picking the 49ers, Jeff?
No.
Over the Patriots?
I didn't think so.
Sunday night Packers at Redskins.
Ah.
What's going on in Green Bay?
You know what?
I got Redskins.
I know because you're picking your buddy.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Packers.
Okay, to get it done on the road, I'm going with the Redskins. And Monday night in Mexico City, Texans at the Raiders.
I'm taking the Raiders.
That's a home game for the Raiders. Raiders.
Okay, I think we're all in agreement there on that one. So there you have it. The picks are in. We'll look at the results next week. Jaguars at the Lions, guys. Do they get it done Sunday?
Not going to be easy. Not going to be easy.
That's a tough one.
I mean, this is a tough game.
I'll say this. The Jaguars will win. if they start fast. If they start fast and can avoid the turnovers and giving a short field to that Detroit Lions offense, they'll win the football game. But if they continue to start slow and continue to put their defense in bad situations, they will not win. They will not. They are not good enough to overcome those situations.
The Detroit Lions have 7 takeaways, which is, I think, third worst in the National Football League. Not a great team. I know there's talk that they could be getting healthy with Darius Slay and DeAndre Levy. I think the Jaguars can play well enough in the back end to get a win. I think this is a much-needed win, and they're going to get it.
Is it a lock?
No, I'm not locking.
Oh, you didn't lock?
No, I'm not locking
anything. It sounded like a lock.
You don't make a lock with a 2-7 football team.
Oh. I'm done locking for the year. I already said that. So.
Yeah, you. The double lock didn't work last week.
The double lock ruined me.
It certainly did. Tony, have a great call tonight in Charlotte.
All right, guys. Jeff, I'll see you on the plane Saturday.
10-4. Have a good call.
Yep. Tony Baselli.
I hope it's a good game tonight because I'm going to watch it.
Should be, yeah. Saints-Panthers.
Yeah.
Division rivalry. Breeze, yeah. Newton.
I haven't watched Drew Brees all year. Haven't had the opportunity, so I'm looking forward to watching him tonight. And I'm looking also forward to seeing how bad, in fact, the Saints defense is.
We'll find out. Game day is so much more enjoyable if you don't have to worry about finding a parking space. Ride the JTA Game Day Express and park in one of their 5 convenient lots. Tickets start at $7. We'll wrap it up after this. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli's out of here. Getting ready for Thursday night football. The Jaguars will be out of here on Saturday, heading to Motown. Ford Field, Detroit, the week before the Thanksgiving Day game there. It's an annual tradition on, this, a week from tonight. I can't believe Thanksgiving's here already.
It's a nice stadium.
Yeah, it is. Downtown, yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice stadium. They did a good job. It's pretty neat in that, when you're on the way there, you don't even realize that it's a stadium. Because, most stadiums have, the structure and then tons of parking lot area around it.
Yeah.
This is like just another building, and it doesn't even look like a stadium from the outside.
Yeah.
So very unique.
That's right next door to Comerica Park, I think, the Tigers stadium right there. So they're right next to each other and all the stuff that's right around that.
Yeah, and it's indoor, so it'll be nice.
It's supposed to snow, right?
I don't care. We're inside. Let it snow.
You're there Saturday, though. I mean,
that's all right. I'm not leaving the hotel. I got work to do. Be on the computer knocking out some work in advance of the Buffalo game. Be knocking it out.
That's coming up the week after in Orchard Park, New York. I mean, back-to-back road games and teams that have the ability to play well.
Two totally different teams. I mean, you want to talk about the opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to game plan, because you've got the quarterback-centric team and Matt Stafford, who's throwing the ball a ton, and they play 3 wide receivers. And then next week you travel to Buffalo, and so you go from an indoor environment to you're going to the outdoor environment. You might have, a foot of snow
or rain
in
or
Buffalo.
Whatever, right.
And offensively for them, they've got a quarterback who likes to move around a bunch, can run the football, although he's been a little bit slowed lately. Got a running back, when healthy, is arguably one of the best in the league.
Shady.
So two totally different, game plans coming in to each different game, so – but this football team needs to get a win. I mean, it's well past time, but they just need something to go right.
Everything's been going wrong. I mean, at least the turnover battle and all that recently.
I don't want to say, and it's not bad. It's not bad bounces. No, it's not.
Well,
JP.
The one on the screen thing.
Yeah, I know, but that wasn't a bounce. It wasn't a bad bounce. It was a bad decision to make a lateral and throw it there in the first place, because even if it doesn't hit the foot, it's a live ball.
True.
That's not a bad bounce in my book.
Have you seen
that's a bad decision.
Have you seen anything like that in the league ever?
Oh, I mean, heck, JP, didn't you ever grow up watching, maybe not, you're a little younger than me, but didn't you ever watch the Folly show that they used to have.
Follies, yeah.
Yeah. Things like that happen, I don't want to say all the time, but they happen.
Well, that would be on the tape probably.
Yeah, it could go to the tape. If they were still doing Follies, that would definitely be a Folly moment. Hmm. So, but I mean, you got to make your own plays. You got to make your own breaks. You know, there is no luck in football. There's bad calls and bad luck when it comes to getting certain officials, but there's no bad luck. You create your own luck. Play better. Pretty simple.
Yeah, play better or don't. And that's it. So they'll have to do that this week against a Lions team that is well-versed in tight games late, and they have rallied and won.
They've won four of their last five.
Yep.
And the one game that they played, and I can't remember which it is, but one of those four victories was by like a six-point margin. Maybe a 7-point margin. And then the other three victories were a combined like 5 or 6 points. I mean, so they're playing, you know, football games that are very tight, and they've been winning some tight games. Now, early in the season, they started out of the gate, and I think they lost three out of their first four.
Yep, that's right.
You know, so it's not like that this team is great, but they're on a little bit of a roll. Their quarterback is playing very well, and he's protecting the football.
They beat the Colts by 4 on opening day, lost to the Titans by 1, lost to the Packers by 7, lost to the Bears by 3, and then won 3 in a row. A 1-point win over the Eagles, 3-point win over the Rams, 3-point win over the Redskins, lost by 7 to the Texans, and then won in overtime by 6 over the Vikings. Yeah, so, I mean, that's some tight football.
Yeah, and, you know, I was paying close attention watching the Detroit-Minnesota film because obviously the Jaguars are going to have the Minnesota Vikings coming here in a few weeks. And the Minnesota Vikings, they play really good defense now. I mean, they play really good defense. Aggressive, fast, offensively, you know, not a great running game.
They lost you two big horses at the start of the year.
I know, but you know what? They got a wide receiver, and I'm not sure who it is. The guy that's got the longer hair, big.
Oh, Patterson?
Yeah,
Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yes. Yeah. If he ever figures it out, he might be one of the most dynamic players in the league. And I know he hasn't figured it out yet, but he has flashes and he has moments of brilliance. And there's certain guys that when they flash, you're like, hey, that was pretty good. But when you watch him, his flashes, you know, if you put him on a scale, you know, good football players flash like a 7. When he flashes, it's like rarely seen stuff, and it's 10. So hopefully he doesn't figure it out between now and then.
This NFC North has a similar feel to the AFC South. I mean, the Packers have faltered a little bit. The Vikings started 5-0. They've floundered a bit. The Bears are the Bears, and the Lions have just taken advantage.
Well, the Bears are the Jaguars. If you're comparing divisions, the Bears are the Jaguars in that division. And then you have some other teams that, you know, here's the thing. You've got two good quarterbacks in that division. And the Jaguars division, you got two good quarterbacks. I mean, there's a lot of similarities between the two of them. And I don't know if there's a clear-cut favorite in either one of them. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden Andrew Luck gets hot.
He's been known to do that. That's why they paid him a lot of money.
But I also would not be surprised if he continues to take a pounding and gets sacked another 30 times, you know, in the remaining games that they have. But,
he survives those, yes.
You know, I just hope that this football team gets a win, and then at least for a week you have a little bit of some good talk.
Yeah,
here's what better. Went right, and here's why it went right.
Right.
It's been a while. How many weeks?
It was week 6, the Chicago game, the rally, the win. So lost 4 in a row.
And, you know, the other thing is that when's the next home game here?
It's the Denver
What's the date?
Game. Denver.
What's the date of it?
The 4th.
December 4th.
Yeah.
Do you realize the last victory in Jacksonville was last year? I think it was December 13th.
Wow. That's right. The home wins have been in London.
So the next opportunity will be just shy of a year.
Wow.
It's a long time.
It is. For Tony Buscelli, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato, Max Hockman, JP Shadrick. See you next time, 2 weeks from now. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.